Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Carrie and Chris Shook, they founded Woodlands Church, which is outside of Houston, Texas. It has grown to be just a huge church, regular attendance of about 18,000 people. But you know what? It is recognized also for its ministries to the poor, to the powerless, and we'll be talking a little bit about that today. And also about this book, Be the Message, Taking Your Faith Beyond Words to a Life of Action. Carrie Shook, welcome to Life Quest.
Great to be with you, Dwight.
Why did you write this book at this time?
Well, my wife and I, you know, had been in ministry for quite some time, and God had really been working in our church, and we just, you know, I've preached so many messages, we've taught so many Bible studies, and we think there's so much value in that, and I think it's one of the big reasons our church has grown.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say I came to this personal discontent where I felt like I was talking so much about God, but not really experiencing God as much as I wanted to, And so we both just came to the realization that we talk so much about God, but we wanted to walk with Him more, and we wanted really not to have any disconnect between all these messages about God and our experiences with God. And so really it just came out of a heart to bridge that disconnect between our words and actions that I think is a lifelong process, but I think it's so important for Christ followers.
Pastor, as you point out in your first chapter, with technology today, with podcasts and the internet and television and books galore, there's a lot about Christianity, which is sort of like, okay, we're spreading the word. But I like what you say here, that all these spiritual words, but a lot of it doesn't translate into what happens to me every day.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's no different for pastors. You know, we're just like everybody else. You know, we can teach a lot about God, talk a lot about God, but we have to experience Him every day and walk with Him. And I think the greatest stress in our lives is caused by that disconnect, that stress gap between what we say we really believe in our hearts and then how we really live each day. And if we can reduce that gap, then we really feel the Holy Spirit's power and you really come alive, and so that's our goal, and we try to be real gut-level honest in the book about, you know, our struggles to do that and then our triumphs and how God's been working in our lives. And so, you know, we really want everyone to know they have a life message, and it's not the words you say as much as it is the actions that you live out, and that life message has so much power in it to make a difference in your life and the lives of others.
You know, I read somewhere, if I can paraphrase it, that the one who led out to the freedom of India, Gandhi, he was attracted to Christianity but wasn't too impressed with Christians.
Yeah, that's I think that happens a lot, unfortunately, is that, you know, people are attracted to Jesus and then the message of Jesus, but they want to see Jesus. And I find that people in the world are tired of being preached at, tired of hearing sermons. They want to see a sermon lived out. And that's what Christ wants us to do, is to let Him live through us. And so people can see Jesus in us. The more I can get out of the way and the more people can see Christ, then they're going to be attracted to that.
There are opportunities every day for that, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think a lot of times as Christ followers, we look at the situation in the world and it just overwhelms us. We see all the negativity. We see all the brokenness. And we think, I can't do anything. But my wife has always had a saying that she said for years. It's like, we can do more than nothing. And God can take our more than nothing and turn it into something great. And then also, I think it's all about loving the one in front of you. We always try to go out and do something big and great for God, while many times God wants us to take one step of faith so He can do something big and great in us. And if we'll just love the one in front of us and be Jesus to the person in front of us, be the message to that person in need, then He can take it from there and do something great.
Yeah, in your chapter 2, you actually title it, Every Life Shouts. And I was thinking about that. that has to do with how we drive and how we deal with the guy that's taking credit for the work we've done and our pocketbooks and everything.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and it's good to say the right things. Our words are important. I'm a preacher, so
yeah.
I believe in sermons and I believe in getting the word out. The scripture tells us that. But really, the most important sermon is my life to the people closest to me, the people that I come in contact with. You know, it's the people closest to you that hear the sermons the strongest, and it's not what you try to put across as your brand. It's really your actions that shout the real message. So every life does shout, and we need to stop and think, what is my life shouting today?
You give some examples how that people who maybe are involved in ministry or people who are leaders in whatever their field is, and yet their families don't always see the same person at home. And therefore, millennials or our kids tend to get sort of cynical about faith.
Oh, no doubt. You know, and I think the most important thing for all of us as adult Christ followers, especially with kids, is to be genuine, to admit our struggles, to ask for forgiveness when we, you know, don't quite parent the way we should. And I think because they see those mistakes and failures anyway. And if we're honest about that, and then they see us praying, and they see us, you know, see husband and wife grabbing each other's hand and just praying about what's coming up in the day, and they need to see that it's real. And I think that's what, you know, for my kids, they all love Jesus, and now they're grown and out of the house and have a strong relationship with God. That's one of the things they've told us that you know, I'm sure we could have done a lot better, but they've told us, I really appreciate that you were real and you were genuine. You didn't try to put up an image to us. You were genuine and real, and we saw real faith.
As a pastor of a large congregation, what have you been able to do to give opportunity for people to act out the teachings and character of Jesus in 2015?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's one of the big things about our book, Be the Message, is that we think, you know, church-wide, and whether it's a small church, medium-sized church, or large church, and we've been all of those, we really want to mobilize our members to be Jesus to people. And I really think that if what happens inside the church building on Sunday doesn't change what's going on in the community on Monday, then we can't really even call it worship. And so we designed a Be the Message campaign to really get our members outside the church and into the community, to love the community and to serve the community and to do more than nothing and love the one in front of them. And so it's a comprehensive spiritual growth campaign that that can really affect churches, and we have that on our website, and if any church is interested in that. But mostly it started with just a desire for Chris and I to be the message more in our own lives.
On this point, I wanted to mention that you have a chapter here later in the book called More Than Nothing, and you give a quote here from former President Calvin Coolidge, "We cannot do everything at once, but we can do something at once." And that struck me because we often hear as church leaders, people come back and say, well, you know, you want to put all this time and energy into the poor. Well, the poor, the Bible says, will always be with us, and that kind of response. But you're suggesting we got to do something.
Right. I think, you know, Satan does want to get us overwhelmed with all the problems in the world, and we really try to do big things, and if we can't do big things, then we don't want to do it. If we can't solve poverty, then we don't want to do it sometimes, and I think that that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us just to take that next step of faith, to do more than nothing. And then it's in His hands. I think we get so concerned about all the results that many times we miss out on God's call for our lives. And if we will just obey Him, and we're really seeking to be more sensitive to the Lord's prompting in our lives when He wants us to take a step into someone else's life, to help them, to minister to them. And our whole church is really seeking to do that. Be more sensitive to God's prompting and just do what He calls us to do and then leave the results to Him. And many times those results are just amazing. but it's he's the only one that can change a life or meet a need. And I think it's, you know, if we hide behind the fact that, you know, we can't really do much, then we're really not giving credit to God who can do great things.
If you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Pastor Kerry Shook. He has a new book called Be the Message. And in one of the chapters, you have a heading here, What is Your Holy Disturbance? Explain to our audience what that means.
Well, that's a big way that you find your life message. Our life message is to be the gospel to people, but it'll come out in a unique expression for each one of us. And one of the ways to find it is, what makes you angry, righteously angry? Mm-hmm. For one of our church members, he was on a mission trip to Honduras, and as he was getting ready to leave, one of the young boys didn't have any shoes, and he asked for his shoes. Mm-hmm. And he thought, well, I got to get back on the plane and everything. I'm going to need these shoes. But it just kind of haunted him, and it made him mad that the kids didn't have shoes. And so when he got back, he started gathering shoes from members in our church and started really doing something about his holy disturbance. And before you know it, he had gathered 10,000 pairs of shoes to send back to those kids in Honduras. And it just kind of snowballed. He just took a little step of faith and, you know, pulled together two or three pairs of his shoes and then got some friends. And before you knew it, the Woodlands Marathon, that was their big emphasis, that everyone that entered bring an extra pair of shoes for those kids in Honduras. And it just went from there. And I think that if you'll think about what makes you angry, you know, what makes you righteously angry, and then act upon that, because Jesus got angry, and he didn't sin. And so it's not a sin to be angry. If you're angry against those things that, you know, that hurt people, and, you know, Jesus got mad at the money changers in the temple, and he did something about it, but we should use that righteous anger to really share the message of helping people and Jesus.
In chapter 12, you use the story of what some feel is the German martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How did he fulfill in kind of the message that you're talking about?
Well, I think for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it was that he followed Christ no matter what. And he lived such a life message. And even though, you know, we can look back on it and we can see what an impact he had at the time, that he stood against Nazism and he stood against evil, he was, you know, a man in the upper middle class, and he could have gone along with things and everything would have been okay. He could have stayed in the United States and not gone back to Germany during that time, and he would have been safe. But yet he risked everything to follow God. And at the time when he died and was basically a martyr for his faith and standing against evil, it looked like, you know, what a tragedy. But through everything that God called him to do, now he's making a difference in millions of lives through his book, The Cost of Discipleship, and other writings, and just his life message echoes on. And I think that we forget that our life message has eternal power when we align it with what Christ has called us to do.
Explain to our listeners how at the end of the chapters, you have these two sections, the divine whisper and love the one in front of you. How does that pan out?
Well, Chris and I always want to make it really practical. And we want you to go on a journey that helps you really reduce that gap between your words and your actions. And so the Divine Whisper is all about some exercises to really grow closer to Christ and tune into the Holy Spirit, listen to Him more. We always say, let's try to talk less and listen to God more, and then we'll know more what to say. And so that's a section to do that. Then love the one in front of you is just some practical exercises to get you out of your comfort zone into a miracle zone, into other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Again, the book is Be the Message, Taking Your Faith Beyond Words to a Life of Action by Pastor Kerry and Chris Shook. Thanks for being with us today. Tell people where they can get a copy.
Yes, you can get a copy at most bookstores, or you can go to bethemessage.org, and that's the website, and also you can get copies of the church challenge as well.
Pastor, thanks for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thank you so much, Dwight, and God bless you and all you do.
I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here are your hosts, Dwight Lanoff.
Today on LifeQuest, I'm talking with Diane Storz, and she has written a whole bunch of books for children, and the one we're going to talk to her about today is Words to Dream On. Diane, welcome to LifeQuest.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Diane, why did you write this book at this time?
Well, that's a good question. I have four young grandsons, so I think about them a lot. The world that they're facing, and children, all children as well. I think it's just so essential for kids to know God's Word as early as possible. And every Bible story book needs a strong hook, a kind of a unifying theme.
Mm-hmm.
And bedtime just seemed to be on my mind. So that was really the beginning of this book. It morphed a little bit as it developed, but just really wanted kids to be able to feel very secure in God's love each night before they drifted off to sleep. So that was really the goal, too.
You have written a lot of books. How did you get into dealing so many books with children?
Well, I always loved to write, and I always loved to read. I got a journalism degree in college, and didn't go into the journalism field. I wound up moving to Cincinnati, Ohio, and joined the staff of a Christian publishing company and developed Sunday school curriculum for a number of years.
Uh-huh.
And then after a break at home with kids, I came back and began to acquire children's books and edit children's books for that same publisher, and eventually was the editorial director for the book group. I just always loved children's books. I loved reading them to my kids when they were small, and writing them is a lot of fun.
I grew up in a Christian home, and one of my earliest memories is of my sister and I climbing on mom's bed, and she would start reading to us a whole series, 10-volume set of something called The Bible Story, and then there was another one, Uncle Arthur's The Bedtime Story, stuff like that, and yet I would suggest there probably are a lot of kids and grown-ups now that never had that experience.
I think that's true. Families are just so busy nowadays, and bedtime can be just kind of haphazard, get dinner done, get homework done, everybody go to bed. And so maybe this will help change that up a little bit.
All right, tell our listeners a little bit about the format of the book and some of the examples and illustrations and that sort of thing.
Sure. Well, there's 52 stories, 26 from the Old Testament, 26 from the New.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to go from Genesis all the way through to Revelation so that children have a good idea of the progression of the story arc of the Bible itself. And I chose each of the stories to allow children to focus on one of the wonderful attributes of God that they can feel so secure in and know that they are loved by Him. So, for example, some stories, there are parts of the story that are very good for children to hear and parts that they really couldn't understand at this point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And an example of that is the story of Jericho, the fall of Jericho. So we talk about how God enabled the walls to fall down, but we don't talk about the battle or the fact that Jericho was destroyed. We talk about the fact that after the walls fall, God made it, He was making it possible for His people to keep moving forward
mm-hmm.
into the land that He was giving them.
Right.
So So all of the stories, I'm very careful as I go through them to make sure that they're appropriate for the understanding of the age group that we're targeting.
Then there's a little prayer at the end of each one.
Right. Each story begins with a Bible verse, which is the words to dream on. And then at the end, there's a bedtime blessing, which is kind of a summary of the of what God is doing in that story as it applies to the child. And then there's a sleepy time prayer, which is very childlike prayer, but it's a good response from the child to the content of the story.
Yeah, and I'd like to mention to our listeners that the illustrations are great, and they really match well and very colorful, too.
They're wonderful. The illustrator is a young French woman. Mm-hmm. She has a background in animation, and so the illustrations have a bit of a Disney-esque feel to them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But they're not cartoony. The details are realistic. The colors are very rich. And there's a lot of interesting detail for both children and adults.
Also, at the end of the book, you've added a couple of things for parents.
Yeah, there's a list of tips for creating a happy bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. Like we said earlier, sometimes bedtime is a little haphazard. And so with just a little bit of effort, parents can develop a routine that children can expect and know what's going to happen each evening that makes for better bedtime. So we have some tips about that. And then there's a list of tips for reading out loud with young children. Sometimes parents maybe feel they're not very good readers.
Right.
But it's really not that hard. Children are not critiquing us. And these are just some tips for making it fun and just kind of giving it a chance, seeing what you can do with it.
As I mentioned at the beginning, you've written a number of books for children. Are you seeing an increase just in the whole genre of people interested in this sort of type of book for their families?
I think so. The reception to this book has been really great. It's mm-hmm. been out for about 2 months.
Okay.
And the reviews online have been wonderful. I've gotten personal comments on Facebook or emailed to me. I did a couple book signings, and it was really interesting to see people who would wander into the book signing who didn't know me, who hadn't come for that specific purpose.
Okay.
And they would come in, and they would see the book, and their eyes would get big, and they would thumb through it. And one little boy in particular did that with his mom, and his eyes were very big, and they ended up buying the book. And so I think there's a real desire out there for something wholesome and true and good for children and families.
The book is Words to Dream On, Bedtime Bible Stories and Prayers by Diane Storz. Diane, where can our listeners get a copy of the book?
It's available just about anywhere books are sold, and at my website, dianestorz.com. I don't sell the book, but there are links there where mm-hmm. readers can go easily online to different sellers or find a Christian bookstore, and it's also available at a number of other bookstores around town.
And I've got to mention that I went to Amazon and read some of the reviews that are there, which is one of the things Amazon's great for.
Yeah.
And I think, folks, you'd really appreciate it. Diane, thanks so much for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff.